bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum.
Did you know that? Here's a fun fact, Wendy.
What?
That Dave Schwann, who just did the news, plays the bongos on this version of Babu Babu Babu. This is him in the background. Can you hear him?
I'm going to have to go shake his hand.
Yeah.
Because he does a great job.
Yeah, he won a gold record for this.
I really wish you'd be watching the Brady renovation, a very Brady renovation, yeah. Because they were, it's a show on HGTV where they have all the six remaining kids.
Yeah, original six.
Let's go on.
You're supposed to say that.
They have all the original six.
Yeah.
And they are taking the actual Brady house.
Yeah.
And adding an addition that's bigger than the entire house just so they can recreate the actual interior of that house. Mm-hmm. Because Peter Brady, Chris Knight, keeps saying, you know, oh, everybody thought that the Brady house was the same inside and out. I did.
Yeah.
I didn't realize one was on a lot and one was just an exterior view of a house.
In almost every case, in almost every movie or TV show you've ever seen, well, especially TV, movies, a little more leeway, but especially on TV, the interior that you see and the exterior that you see of any of your favorite TV families, it's almost always a different location because the interiors are shot at a TV studio. The exteriors, they just get somebody to go out and do what they call principal photography, where they just shoot stuff. And then that's the house.
Yeah, but I envisioned the inside of the Brady house looking like it.
Everybody did.
Okay, but on King of Queens, another one of my favorite television shows from days gone by, that's in repeats all the time. If you look at the exterior shot of the house and then you see them in their family room, there's no way it can match up, which is frustrating to me. Because the exterior shot shows a window, but then inside there is no window. It's like, shouldn't they be more mindful of that? Because I believe the Brady that inside that we saw, which was a soundstage, I believed that that fit into the house.
I think because of the magic of TV, your brain tricks you into believing. Like you name the show, The Munsters. You know, when they show 1313 Mockingbird Lane and then they show the inside, you go, yeah, that's how it looks. That means they're doing their job.
But these people had their jobs cut out as all the stars of HGTV, and they had to like remove windows where there wasn't one or add one. Mm-hmm. The front window on the top left of the Brady house was just hung there like a mirror. It didn't go through.
Yeah.
So they had to actually do it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because they recreated Greg's groovy attic.
Oh.
But they didn't want to add a top addition to the house because it would ruin the line, so they have it down in the basement.
The attic is located in the basement.
But it was the way it was set up with the rafters and the beads hanging down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And a pair of bongo drums that was on his headboard.
Oh, nice.
And it just seemed like such a fun project to me because the Mike and Carol bedroom, they had these kind of gaudy gold lamps on each side of the night table.
Yeah.
They found one at an antique store, and then they had to go search through eBay and the internet to find another one. So I like being on those quests to find these different little things.
Could they have 3D printed another one based on the one that they found? Would that have been an option or not an option?
That's interesting. They did a lot of printing of wallpaper that was no longer available.
Yeah.
It technically wasn't 3D printing. It's just you could create a customized design and they would print out a roll.
Yeah. I've seen that.
But that's a great question.
I wonder if they could have come close to matching that up with a 3D printer, maybe.
That's fascinating to me. If they can make body parts with a 3D printer, why can't they make a Brady lamp?
Yeah, you would imagine. And no sign of Cousin Oliver on this program, right? Do they make fun of him at some point?
No.
They don't? They
is
don't,
he
just
still
don't refer
around?
To him?
Richie?
Yeah. Robbie Wrist.
Robbie Richie
I'm
Wrist.
I'm Facebook friends with him.
Your friend Wrist. Was Richie Wrist.
I think that's mean. I'm not sure why, but I'm almost positive that's
it
mean.
Is.
It is.
I crack myself up.
Jazz, look it up and find out why that's mean.
No,
and get
don't.
Back to me.
Just don't tell him.
All right.
But he's still alive. I'm kind of surprised
is.
They
he's
didn't.
He's a musician.
Throw him in, but then he would have ruined the show, because isn't that why they brought him in?
Do you, yes. Do you know what other show he was a regular on? Well, a couple of shows. Well, one he was a regular on, and one he played a very important role on.
This is where you excel, by the way, so be proud of yourself.
And knowing stuff that nobody in the world cares about.
The Courtship
about.
Of Eddie's Father.
No, that was Brandon Cruz. Don't embarrass me.
No, I know it was Brandon Cruz, but you said he appeared on.
Oh. No, he would have been too young for that.
A starring role?
Although
just...
Jodie Foster made frequent appearances on that.
I love her.
Yeah.
So that was this a starring role? Or
this
just...
was a starring role. It was a Saturday morning show that was on for two seasons. Very popular in the first season.
H.R. Puff and stuff?
No. That was Jack Wilde.
I know who that was.
Right. No. Big John, Little John.
Wait, I'll get it.
Do you remember that show?
No.
On Big John, Little John.
With John Denver?
No.
Because why wouldn't it be?
He looked just like John Denver.
Yeah.
That would have made sense. No, it was actually Herb Edelman, Wendy, one of your favorite actors ever, Herb Edelman. So Herb.
He was my best friend in the whole wide world.
Right. Remember the four of us would go out, Grant Mulvey and me and Herb Edelman and you? Boy, we had good times. He had the ability, he was a grown man, Herb Edelman, who had the ability to transfer himself into like an 8-year-old version of him.
Yeah.
Played by Robbie Rist.
I don't think I ever saw it, but I remember Herb Edelman.
It was a pre-big. It was before, you know, there was a rash of movies where, like Freaky Friday, where an adult and a child switched bodies.
It happens all the time.
It happens a lot, but it was the first time Saturday Morning tackled that particular issue.
Wow, I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
If you look up Herb Edelman, listeners, the name doesn't mean anything to you, but once you see his face, he was on everything.
Yeah. I think he was on The Golden Girls. He was one of their ex-husbands on The Golden Girls. He was on a show called, was it The Good Guys with Bob Denver? He was all over the place for a while, Herb Edelman. No longer with us, sadly.
Oh, that is sad.
Yeah.
He's been in Matlock.
Yes.
The Golden Girls. He was Stan Zbornak. Stanley.
So whose husband would that have been?
I didn't really watch The Golden Girls that much. Did you?
I only saw it a couple of times, and I enjoyed it, but some reason, it just didn't stick with me.
He played, he was on Murder, She Wrote quite a bit.
Oh, I could see that.
New York PD Lieutenant Artie Gelber.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But if you look up Herb Edelman, because every once in a while, every day, Bill mentions someone that I have to look up, because I don't know them by name, but I do
but
know them
know
by
face. But you know
their
work,
yeah.
Right? Like when you do look them up, you go, oh yeah, that guy, I remember that guy.
Okay, so Big John, Little John, and there was another show that Robbie Rist was on?
Yeah, on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
Really?
Yeah. What, he was...
Her nephew?
No, he played... Whose son was it? Was it Ted Baxter's son or Murray Slaughter's son? I think Murray's son.
I didn't even know Murray and his
or
wife.
Maybe Ted. Maybe Ted. Ted and Georgette, maybe. I know he played one of their adopted children.
What was Murray's wife's name?
Marie.
Oh, darn it.
Joyce Boulafont.
Yeah, we talked to her.
Yes.
She was amazing.
Yes.
I love all these people.
Yeah.
Boy, Robbie's looking very different these days.
He does. You wouldn't recognize him when you first saw him. I had him on, when I was doing the night show, I had him on twice, and he was a very, very nice guy. He's very active on social media, posts a lot of notes.
Working a lot.
Yes.
He does a lot. He's a voice actor.
Cartoon
now.
Voices.
Yeah.
I think he did one of the voices for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I believe.
I think so. Why aren't you doing cartoon voices? He played the part of David Baxter, so Ted's son.
Ted's son. Ted and Georgette's adopted son.
Oh, when you say adopted son now, I was like, I didn't recall that they had a kid, but yeah.
But you couldn't look more like John Denver than Robbie Rist did when he was a child. And boy, that experiment on the Brady Bunch went south because... Like many shows, once the kids are getting older, they go, oh, we got to get a cute kid. You name the show. If it lasted a long time, they did it. Growing Pains did it. The Cosby Show did it. The Partridge Family did it. The Brady Bunch
Family
did it.
Ties.
Family Ties did it. Yeah.
You don't need it.
Right. But that was the one that went the most south because he didn't get along with the kids. The kids didn't get along with him. The viewers didn't take to him.
Are they going to bring a young broadcaster on
already,
our show?
They're already looking.
To add to the
There's a
ensemble.
Meeting today, actually, Wendy, about just that. Yes.
I wondered what that meeting was about.
They're looking for a young, adorable upstart of a child to come in and be the new cute kid on the show.
Yeah, because we're too old to be the cute kid.
Sadly.
Although you're closer than I am.
Whatever.
But this Brady renovation. They are going to, the season finale was this past Monday.
Oh, that was quick.
Yeah, I think there are four episodes, but then they have like a behind the scenes coming next week.
Yeah.
And then they're going to dress everything up for Christmas and have a very Brady Christmas renovation.
Oh.
So they're going to keep this going for a while.
Yeah.
And Jim and I, as we were watching, thought, you know what, they've put so much money into this house. First of all, they had to spend $3 million to buy it from Lance Bass, who was originally going to buy the house.
And then, how crazy is that?
It is crazy. And then the addition they put on, the Very Brady addition, was honestly more square foot than the rest of the house.
Yeah.
So they put so much money into it, they have to recoup. They have to do something.
Yes.
So I bet they're going to start like giving tours, and then the Brady, one of the Brady kids will be there at all times, so they will have a job from now on.
I guess.
I'd go see it. You wouldn't walk
so
through it.
What would the Brady child do?
Give an autograph.
Child, but they're in their 50s and 60s. So they would just be like in their room, like when you get up to the Brady boys' room, Bobby would just be on
no,
the bed.
But they'd welcome
hey
you. They'd welcome you and give you a tour of the Brady house. They can all take turns.
Oh, maybe.
Then you can get an autograph. I would so do that.
They'd be like a docent.
A docent.
Yeah, would they be a docent? A deercent? Female deercent? I don't know. If you're one of them and they suggest that idea to you, don't you just kind of go, I'll let you know.
What are they doing?
I know, but it's kind of demeaning to just sit in the house all day in hopes that somebody comes by. I don't know.
What really? No. I guess they'd have to make appointments maybe.
Yeah, maybe then. But to just sit there all day, come on, doorbell. Where are you? Ring. Please ring.
I think it would be flooded for a while.
Did the Dittmeyers buy the house next door?
They still live there.
They still live there?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Do you know how old Barry Williams is? Because this shocked me last night.
Barry Williams would be 62 or 3?
Pretty close. I'll give it to you. 65.
Oh, is he really?
He can get his senior discount at all the places. I mean, I'm watching him and he's... You know, at one point in his attic, he strummed an acoustic guitar, so they, of course, had him play.
Yeah.
And it was cute, but he's just such an older man to me. He's not my Greg Brady.
One time at the Light, I was doing the morning show at the Light, and he was our guest. And in between breaks, he had just gotten married about 3 months prior. So I was asking him the questions about, wow, so did you marry somebody that was a Brady Bunch fan? I mean, how weird would that be if she was a girl and she was watching the Brady Bunch to one day be married to one of the Bradys and stuff like that? And he goes, no, it's not like that. And he told me some story about how they met and everything like that. He goes, wait, I got a picture. And he showed me a picture of her. And he goes, see, she's really good looking too. And I just went,
meaning he is as well?
He just threw that in. Like, would you ever show somebody a picture and just throw that in as a bonus? Like, if you think I'm good looking, well, how about this? I just thought that was the weirdest thing, the weirdest way to present a picture to say that.
I don't know exactly how to take him. Because honestly, Bill, it's like... He goofs around a lot that, you know...
He wasn't goofing around.
Really?
Not then, no. There were other times... that he goofed around, but right then it was his polite way of saying, see, I didn't marry up or down and she didn't either. We're equally as attractive.
That's sad.
It's very funny. I laughed and then he looked at me like, why are you laughing? Oh, I'm not. I just have a nervous disorder is all. It seems like I'm laughing, but I'm not.
I've met him on numerous occasions and hung with him for a while at a Kevin Matthews golf outing.
Yeah.
And he was very... confident, let's just say.
Yes.
And really thought he was the greatest. But I mean, really, he kind of was for a very long time.
The person in the world that I thought he was most similar to was David Cassidy, which is ironic because that was your Friday night lineup with the Brady Bunch and the Partridge Family. But they both have that
je
confidence.
Ne sais quoi.
Well, it is a confidence that I guess you have to have. I guess.
Well, it borders on arrogance. It really does.
It's in the neighborhood of arrogance.
I know, but I mean, like, talking to Barry Williams, like, it's so weird because he's so confident, yet he can make fun of himself, too. It's a weird dichotomy.
Right.
But I just was looking at him, and, you know, it's just like, they show little clips. When they finish the Jack and Jill bathroom on the show, there's a scene where the three boys and the three girls are fighting.
Yeah.
So they kind of did a split screen and showed today's Brady kids kind of fighting.
Oh.
And it was really cute. And you look back at Greg, there was a trivia question of the very first car he ever got. And that was a time when like Greg was like really smoking hot. I'm sorry. And he had to have that... that confidence and exude that confidence everywhere he went, because girls were like screaming over him. So how do you all of a sudden not
be
that?
Yeah, I guess you.
You should. You of all people should understand.
I guess. I don't remember what kind of car it was that he had, but I do remember the joke that was said as he had purchased the car and they were cleaning the car.
And Mike said a joke.
The joke was something along the lines of, are you trying to get rid of the rust? And the joke was, no, it's the only thing holding the car together. Big studio audience laugh.
Oh, you know
remember
what?
That?
Yes, but you laughed too.
I did laugh.
Because last night
laugh.
What they show, and I mean, it was a quiz. I don't know if you want me to give away what the car was.
It's you can.
It's just so stupid anyway, but it was a Chevy Bel Air, a 1956 Chevy Bel Air.
Oh.
And he's showing Mike Brady the car, and he goes, what do you think? And he goes, it sounds like a bunch of geese honking, a bunch of sick geese. So
That
was his joke.
Yeah.
The rust holding together, I think, was another car.
But isn't it funny when you, like, when you become aware of the laugh track?
Yeah, which I didn't know. I didn't pay attention to when I was little.
But it's so funny because they would play it on jokes like that really no human being would hear that joke and laugh, but you accepted it because it was on the laugh track. So you go, I guess that's funny because everybody's laughing, but you don't realize it's just a machine, you know? It's not a studio. They didn't shoot the Brady Bunch in front of a live studio audience like other shows that came later. They did
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just didn't. I just liked what I liked and didn't think about it too much.
Listen, go out of your way when you watch the shows. Just listen to the laugh track and how overused it is. And it's really jarring. Like, you know, on MASH, they used a laugh track on MASH unless they were in the operating room.
Yeah.
Then they didn't. Larry Gelbart, who created MASH, said, no, there's never going to be time we use it in there, but for the rest of the show. So that's where it really stands out. You know?
Yeah. I do notice it now, but when I was growing up, I didn't.
No, you just accepted it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, when it wasn't there, I thought it was really weird that a show didn't have a laugh track. I can't remember what the first show was that didn't use it.
I don't know the answer to that. I know they started after the Brady Bunch, like into the 80s, the trend was more to do shows like that in front of a live studio audience, which they would always mention. Cheers is filmed in front of a live studio audience. You know, so then you knew the laughs were genuine. Sometimes sweetened, you know, sometimes if a joke didn't pay off the way they hoped, they would juice it up a little bit so that when you were watching at home, you go, well, that must have been funny. Everybody's laughing at that.
On shows now that they have a laugh track, it's so weird because you can hear it sounds like the same laugh every time.
It's a version of it.
Yeah, but they don't even deviate a little bit. And was it the Mary Tyler Moore show that had that one guy that had this standout laugh? Do you remember that story?
Yeah, it's more shows than just Mary Tyler Moore show, but a lot of the shows would use the same
like
machine.
Cameraman or something. Yeah, yeah. No, this was somebody who
was a real guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'll try and find that story because it's pretty interesting. But a very Brady renovation. I highly recommend it. It just takes you back. Plus, I like watching Home Improvement. It's pretty cool, all the stuff they have to do. Mm-hmm. They have Florence Henderson's daughter who it jumps in to, because Florence was born on Valentine's Day. So Florence's daughter presented a little heart paperweight in memory of Florence to put on her dresser. And then Sherwood Schwartz's daughter, who was also in a couple of episodes, she showed up and gave something to one of the Bradys that was an original thing.
Oh, that's excellent.
So it's pretty cool. And Florence's daughter was in one episode as well, and they show the clip. It's just really kind of a nice little nostalgic ride back.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Kim will stop by. She'll give you the news, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy, on WGN.
Oh, sorry, I turned your mic on right as you were cleaning your
throat. That's right. I'm having a physical done during the show.
It saves time if you could do it during work.
Yeah.
You mentioned 64. It was 64 in our house when I woke up this morning. It was pretty cold. I had to turn the heat on for a little bit.
Yeah, my daughter-in-law and son have a new house, and she texted me today, which happens to be my old house.
Yeah.
And she texted me and said, is that normal for the heater to smell when it comes on? And I said, That's so funny you say that, because Steve Bertrand and I were saying we love that smell. At the beginning of the fall when you turn your heater on for the
and it burns
time,
all
and it
the dust off.
Yeah. It has that smell. We love that.
Yeah.
And it was so funny that, you know, them never being a homeowner, I guess they never focused on that smell when you turn on the heater. You know,
so
exactly.
At first
the smell
it's jarring, but then after a while you go, no, it's the smell that's supposed to exist.
It's the smell of winter is what it is.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Do you like winter, Kim?
I like fall.
Me too. That's my favorite.
I love fall. I'm not looking forward to what's ahead. Winter in Kentucky was easier than winter in Chicago. But
although, all right, you're going to be shocked. Last year was the polar vortex?
Yes, last year.
Okay, because I don't really remember.
You blocked it out of your mind?
Well, you just move on to the next winter, and it's supposed to be more mild, I thought, according to the Farmer's Almanac this year.
Mm-hmm.
You just take what you get and
move
on.
Now, everybody's telling me, now that I've moved to the city, that this winter is going to be easier because I don't have to worry about plowing my driveway and taking the icy, you know, the garbage cans down on the icy driveway.
Yeah.
And you know, now I just walk down the hall to throw away my garbage. And
a lot easier.
And they plow and do the sidewalks down in this, especially this area where we are, much better than.
Yeah, you'll get
through it. So we'll see. I'll let you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you if that's true.
We'll talk in April.
Wendy, you mentioned earlier in the show that the actress Diane Carroll has passed away.
That's sad.
Very, very sad
news.
Julie,
I remember that.
Yeah, wasn't that great?
That was a good show.
That was a great show.
I mentioned that at the time when the show came on, the controversy was the fact that she, Diane Carroll, was a black woman fronting a television show.
Now, I had her Barbie.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yes. I mean, I don't know if it was actually a Barbie, but
there was a doll, a Nurse Julia doll. Yeah, there was.
I did have one.
Yeah. I think it was a company other than Mattel. I don't think.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I think it was another company. But isn't it hard to believe? It's one of those things that when you hear, you say, what was that, 130 years ago, that you didn't have a black woman fronting a television show?
Right.
But no, it was 1967. How it's almost inconceivable by today's standards that that would be an issue, that people go, oh, you can't have a black woman can't front a TV show. That, who would believe it? It's not possible. That wasn't long ago.
It wasn't that long ago, and then it wasn't that long ago that, you know, a gay woman, Ellen, fronted a show.
Right.
I mean, took a while for that, too.
Yeah. And that was also met with controversy.
Yes.
By the way, Bill, Mr. Toy Collector.
Yes.
How much is a Nurse Julia doll?
Well, it is a Barbie Diane Carroll.
I remember seeing it. I didn't think it was a Barbie.
I usually only went Barbie.
Oh.
It appears to be another doll that was... Oh, no, it says Barbie on the box.
Yeah?
Right now, they're going for the cheapest one, $89.99 on Bonanza. Ruby Lane
has
it.
She wasn't on Bonanza, Wendy.
No,
she was
that's
on
the
Julia,
website.
Please.
$200 on Ruby Lane right now. Do you still have yours? $250 on Mercari. eBay, $24.99. But
do you have Barbies
that's a paper doll
in your collection?
No.
No, no dolls? Mm-hmm. I mean, no, like...
Only action figures, Kim. No dolls.
Okay, sorry.
No
dolls.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Action figures. Action figures are ready for action.
Okay. And Barbies aren't?
Mm-hmm. They're just dolled up. That's all. That's the difference right there.
All right. On Amazon, there's a Mattel 50th anniversary Barbie Diane Carroll as Julia doll.
Wow.
I don't know when this came out. I can't find that. So I don't.
Well, if it was the 50th anniversary, it would have been 2 years ago, I think, because the show was on in 67, right?
Oh, right, right. But the original one was still a Barbie, Bill.
Do you remember, all right, so Diane Carroll was married to the singer Vic Damone for a while, but do you remember who she was the girlfriend of for several years? Another celebrity.
Also a singer?
No.
Hmm.
A talk show host.
Merv Griffin.
No.
Alex Trebek.
No.
No. David Susskind.
You're close. It was an interviewer in the style of David Susskind.
Interview.
Morley Safer.
Yep. Morley Safer. But she stopped dating him because he would always make this noise in the background. It always sounded like a clock, and it made her nervous. David Frost.
Oh, really? Oh. She dated David Frost?
For years.
Wow.
Yeah. He had David Frost had a reputation. He liked to date the pretty women.
Well, who doesn't?
She was pretty.
She was stunning. So stunning.
She was simply beautiful.
Did she
beautiful.
Have children? Did they? Yeah.
Yeah, her daughter was the one who released that she died of cancer today at the age of 84.
And she had had cancer in the past. I know she had breast cancer and I think another form of it at some point that she had beaten. But very, very sad news. It just floors me that not that long ago there'd be such an uproar. Oh, this is going to ruin everything. You can't have a black woman running at the... Come on. Do you remember the old doctor on the show, played by Lloyd Nolan?
No.
Remember that guy?
I'm thinking about Marcus Welby, and I know I'm getting him confused.
Marcus Welby would have been younger. I don't remember what Lloyd Nolan's character's name was on the show, although the one character name I do remember, and it's funny it comes up today, because just yesterday, Wendy, we were talking about this actor, Wes Stern, who was on a show, and his. Do you remember his character's name that we were amused by?
I can't remember.
Lionel...
Poindexter.
Poindexter.
Oh, that's right.
So that's one of my favorite names in the history of television. The other one was a character that was on Julia. She had a young son named Corey. She was a single mother of a young boy named Corey. And his friend, who showed up frequently on the show, his name was Earl J. Wagadorn. I love that.
Dr. Morton Chegley, does that sound
right? Oh, yeah,
right?
Dr. Chegley. That's Lloyd Nolan.
Paging Dr. Chegley.
If we had two boys instead of girls, I would have named them Lionel Poindexter and Earl J. Wagadorn.
No, you would not have.
And Chegley.
And Chegley, if they had a bonus baby in there.
Lloyd Nolan, I don't know, and I'm looking at his picture.
He was around for 1,000 years. He's one of those actors that was always an old guy. Like, even when you see young Lloyd Nolan, you know, he's old.
There was also a really young, good-looking doctor on some medical show. But
that
I
was Medical Center.
Chad
Everett.
Yes.
Dr. Joe Gannon.
Yeah.
Yes.
He was handsome.
Oh, he was handsome.
Yeah.
He really was a looker.
He'd always show up on the Jerry Lewis telethons late at night.
Oh, he did?
He would be like a sidekick, a handsome sidekick to Jerry, who would be embarrassed by everything Jerry would say, but still laugh. Oh, Jerry, you can't say that. And he'd be laughing.
What you do when you're standing next to Jerry Lewis is you laugh.
That's what
or you're never coming
right.
back.
You have to laugh. Yes. Yeah.
I was more into Michael Ontkean from The Rookies. I thought he was very attractive.
He vanished.
And then turned up on Twin Peaks.
But, all right, so he vanished for a while, did Twin Peaks, and then went back into vanishing mode. Like, I don't remember the last time I saw him in anything.
Is.
Curly hair.
Oh, he was just so good looking.
Did you ever see the movie Slapshot?
Oh, yeah, he was great
in
that.
Slapshot.
No.
Yeah, best known probably for The Rookies and for Twin Peaks. What was his? He was the deputy on Twin Peaks, wasn't he?
Yes.
But he had there was a name that
Sheriff Harry S. Truman.
Harry S. Truman, right. Not
really
as cool
funny.
As Earl J. Wagadorn or Lionel Poindexter, but still pretty
this
cool.
This is funnier. That's the last time he did something, 2014.
How can that be? Why would he just go away?
Well, he went away, and they brought, you know, David Lynch said, you got to come back. We need you on this show.
Was he in the reboot of it last
year?
He was on it.
Yeah.
How's he looking?
Awesome.
Still? Yeah.
Kim, I know if you saw him. The Rookies, there were three guys, right?
Three, but at one point, one of them left. It might have been him. It might have been Michael Ontkean. And then Bruce Fairbairn came in and replaced him.
You are just really, I don't even know what to say.
And it's Friday.
Yeah.
Kim, I want to show you a Michael Ontkean picture.
But I think every doctor's show, like the more I think about it, and maybe not just of that era, but ever, there's always one young, brash, handsome doctor. You always have that guy. Probably best embodied by Dr. Stephen Kiley and Marcus Welby.
Yeah. No, that was Paul Newman. This is Michael Ontkean. He was in a little bit of Tiger Beat magazines, I think, for a while, too,
wasn't he? Yeah. I thought he would have been too old for that.
Maybe. Maybe he was just in my own magazine that I used to publish.
He looks like a younger David Hasselhoff. Beat?
Yes.
No,
well,
he's way better.
But
a little bit, but with more, the curly hair and the...
Yeah. He looked like what you would have thought the kid who played Oliver would look like when he'd get older.
Yeah.
Right? Mark Lester.
Except dark hair.
Sometimes, but not always.
Michael Ontkean had really dark hair.
Yeah?
Yes.
I seem to remember him with like Sandy Brown or Sandy Blonde. No?
It's pretty dark.
Yeah? All right.
Wow, you got something. Some memory is wrong? What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I find that hard to believe. I don't mean to laugh at one of our salespeople.
But you're gonna.
Well, you laughed off the air, so I felt it was funny. Steve Godsell is one of our sales account executives here. And I had mentioned the Blackhawks are starting their game today at 1 o'clock. This is
right.
Their season opener.
Yes.
And I had said that the McDonald's McRib is back again because it goes away and it always coincides with hockey season.
Sure. Well, and does it, though?
All the time. It's not typically available the first day of hockey season. Like, it became available today.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that the Blackhawks are playing today. But it only runs during hockey season. It only runs in the summer. I mean, in the fall. And so I went and saw Steve Godsell, and he's wearing a Blackhawks shirt, and we hugged. We did a Blackhawks hug, and I said, "Hey, how's it going?" And there's a hallway bathroom, and I said, "Oh, are you going in there?" And he goes, "No, I thought you guys had free McRibs." He thought there was a McRib drop-off. So maybe next week I'll bring him a McRib. That would be nice.
I've been told by people in the McDonald's family that they would base when they would release the McRib based on the prices of pork.
That has no.
No? That's what they themselves have said. McDonald's said, based on when the pork market makes sense for us to sell more, we buy them low.
No, it's a certain
like trading
time of
places.
Year.
Right.
That's no. When the McRib debuted in 1981, it was a dud. McDonald's pulled it from its menu 4 years later. It was available all the time. Mm-hmm. Though it never achieved nationwide success, there were parts of the country where the McRib generated a solid enough fan base to bring it back every now and then. So they just say that it's a marketing ploy, which is what you have accused Popeyes of with their chicken sandwich.
Yes, I do.
Have you guys been to the new McDonald's restaurant at the new headquarters down here in Fulton Market? I wonder if that's on the menu all the time there because they have, you know, sandwiches and stuff from all over the world and you can go and sample different things. I wonder if it stays on that menu only.
Oh, maybe.
Well, it's limited releases, and that's how the whole Starbucks pumpkin spice latte started. When they're only available for a short amount of time, that's the Pavlovian theory, where it's like, I got
to
get it.
I have to tell you, I'm obsessed with this pumpkin yogurt, and when I saw it in the shelves in August, I was ecstatic. And it'll, you know, they have it through January, but I'm so sad when the pumpkin yogurt goes away. You
Wendy,
look forward to that.
Google
stuff.
This: McDonald's McRib price of pork, and tell me what every article says.
Well,
there's a McDonald's executive out there listening.
I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe the price
Google
of pork
and
goes
what,
down.
See what it comes up with. Just
I don't
put
know
McDonald's
how much
McRib
pork is really
pork.
In it. If
maybe
you want to know the
can
truth,
tell us.
It says McDonald's historically reintroduces its McRib sandwich whenever pork prices fall below 65 cents per pound.
Well, then it must be this time of year when it always falls down because it's always this time of year.
Roughly.
Well, I mean, give or take a couple days, but it's always during hockey season.
All right. Google shows different. If you Google in what I'm telling you to Google in.
I know, but we unfortunately eat them, and it's just, it seems to always coincide pretty closely to hockey season, and then it falls off. No, maybe that is.
And look at these pictures of Michael Ontkean and tell me what color his hair is.
Well, that's.
He's getting ornery on a Friday.
It looks brown to me.
It's sandy brown. It's that. I mean, it's dark black in some of the pictures.
I think it got gray as he got older because he was pretty gray when he came back to Twin Peaks.
And look at when McDonald's releases Michael Ontkean.
I don't even care anymore.
Every year, when Michael Ontkean prices go down, McDonald's.
I want a McOntkean.
Oh, that's a dangerous sandwich, Wendy. You don't want that.
How are Michael Ontkean's ribs? Are they good?
Looking pretty good. But I do believe the whole hoopla for the Popeye's chicken sandwich is definitely something
a marketing ploy.
It has to be. I mean, the only thing that I thought was peculiar is Popeye's never had a chicken sandwich before.
Right.
You can look that up. Maybe I'm wrong with that, too. I don't know.
I don't know if they did.
But I never. They never offered a chicken sandwich, which is weird because I'm a big fan of Popeye's. I really like their red beans and rice, and I like Popeye's chicken. So, like, 2 or 3 months ago, the boys and I had a Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich, and it was really good. And then a month later,
yeah,
it was like, oh, my God, it's the hottest thing. There was a Twitter storm, and then they were gone. Mm-hmm. And now I've called. They won't be back till October.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can move on. Did you see the new bowl that KFC has? It's like mac and cheese with chicken fingers in it. I just saw the commercial last night.
Everybody's like bastardizing everything. I don't like everything mixed up. You don't necessarily, like, if you want chicken fingers, they're really good, and get mac and cheese on the side. Why does everything have to be in the same bowl?
I'm not sure what
everybody's
that is.
Into a bowl.
I have no idea why. I don't know why.
Chipotle
would the McRib do as well if it wasn't shaped like ribs?
No, I think that's the fun
of
it.
That's the fun of it, is you can fool yourself into believing you're eating ribs. Right.
No, it's just kind of.
But it's boneless, obviously.
Yeah. Which shows you how natural pork grows like that.
Yeah.
They're still good.
Maybe
I usually
plant based.
I have one a season. That's it. That's about all I
just
can say.
Just remind yourself of the magic
like
that is the McRib.
Yeah.
And does it have onions and barbecue sauce on it?
Onions, barbecue sauce, and pickles. It's pretty good. On like a hoagie roll.
Have you had, like, if you go to other parts of the country, they have regional favorites at the McDonald's. Have you been able to experience any of these?
No, but Kim is making me want to go to the headquarters here downtown because, like, the McLobster was in the
they
East
have
Coast.
That, yeah, in New England they always have that. And it's so weird because when you spend time there, you can get lobster rolls almost anywhere where they serve food. They serve lobster rolls. So I don't know
delicious.
Why somebody would get it at McDonald's when you have legitimate places that, you know.
Right, you can get it right.
I mean,
unless you go with your kids to get a Happy Meal and you're like, oh, I'm going to try it while I'm here.
The most interesting one was in Hawaii for breakfast one time. There was a McDonald's in our hotel, and my brother and I had what they called Portuguese sausage sandwiches, which were kind of like Egg McMuffin sandwiches, but with
Canadian bacon. It was Portuguese bacon.
It was Portuguese bacon, and it was real spicy, which I usually don't like, but for some reason
it was good.
It worked.
Was it on some type of special bread? Or?
It was like an English muffin type bread, but it, again, a little bit different, textured a little bit differently, but that was the flavor.
Was it a skin?
It was not, no.
A skin.
Do you know what that is? Do you know what that is? It's a scone, but apparently we've been told that British people can say skin instead of scone.
I've never heard that,
we're
but okay.
We're from Chicago, so it's like scone. And
because you can't hear. If somebody
someone
says,
told us it's skin.
It's pronounced, you almost have to say it under your
like
breath
you're
quietly.
Swallowing.
Yeah. And even that's too loud.
Skin.
Skin.
Because I wouldn't, if I
would
lived,
just say, bring me that thing with the clotted cream, because that is to die for.
What's a clotted cream?
Oh, you put it on your skin.
Isn't that fun to say?
But it's so good.
Clotted cream does not sound appetizing.
It's delicious.
Like cottage
and
cheese?
I don't know. It spreads like butter.
Oh.
And I don't even like butter, but this cream is a little bit sweet, and you put it on the skin with the jelly. With jelly.
You,
or
you say
with,
it better than anybody.
Yeah.
I'm saying it a little southern skin.
Yeah, you are getting a little
South
southern
England.
In there. All right, so clotted cream. Also, if I just may say, I shop at Oakbrook a lot because I live in LaGrange and it's not very far. And the whole McDonald's campus was there, and
right.
I know they moved downtown. And there, oddly enough, was a functioning McDonald's right near the campus.
Right. Well, they had Hamburger University
right,
right there.
That was there. Yeah. But then there was an actual McDonald's.
Yes.
So I don't know. I guess I hadn't been to Oakbrook in a while, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to stop and get a McDouble. I'm shopping. Mm-hmm. I just want to. They tore the whole McDonald's down.
Yeah.
The functioning McDonald's restaurant.
Yeah.
And then just like maybe last week, they're tearing the university down.
Mm-hmm.
It was sold, I believe.
Yes, but why
the
would
property.
You? I know, but I'm. The McDonald's restaurant was gone maybe 6 months ago. Wouldn't you like have
that
be
up.
The last thing?
Just from the point of making money off of it?
Yeah. They had a
you would think.
Hotel there and everything in on the campus.
Yeah.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah.
We stayed there once.
And who did do we know who they sold it to?
I don't remember.
Mayor
I know
McCheese
it was
sold
Mayor
it.
McCheese sold it?
Yeah.
Bad
it was
mistake.
Sold but I forgot.
Bad mistake.
But it just kind of breaks my heart driving down 88, and it's like you see all the cranes and everything, and it's like, oh, that.
Yeah.
They didn't have to do that.
It was a big loss to their community economically.
Can I ask something very selfishly? Could you say scone one more time, please?
Scone.
We've corrupted
her. You know how every once in a while we'll talk about how there are words that they say in Great Britain that we don't say here, or we'll flip around, like
the loo.
You say in hospital instead of in the hospital, or I'm on holiday instead of on vacation.
Right.
I can't remember what show I was watching the other day, but it was a British person explaining that they teach maths with an S at the end of, like we always say math, that's it. But they pronounced it maths, and I'm not familiar with
that. Maybe because it is mathematics.
So that one would make more sense then, right?
Wouldn't you think? Yeah. They just got rid of, they kept the S on the mathematics.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that does make sense.
All right. Kim, thank you for hanging out. We'll close up shop next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Good night until we meet.
We're saying goodnight to the listeners, but we're saying hello to John Williams, who will be on next. Hi there, sir.
Is this the new sign-off music you guys use?
We've been using it for the past couple of weeks, and listenership has gone up over 14,000%.
Wow.
Just to hear the last 2 minutes.
Wow.
I don't understand it.
Wow.
Yeah. What have you have coming up on your show, John?
Listening to the music.
You're just going to listen to the
music. All right, then I have to turn it off.
Can you guess who's singing that? You'll never guess.
Perry Como's.
Nope.
Good. Can I hear it just like for two more seconds?
Yeah, play a little bit more. See if you can guess which band is playing this.
It's a band.
Gotta hit it again.
It's a band.
The band.
Yep.
Right. 3, 2, 1.
Gotta hit it again.
Oh, hold on, John.
Yeah, they're busy over
we'll
there.
We'll get it. Here it is. Night, guess which band.
Good night until we meet again.
I don't have it.
You give up? Slayer.
Why do I try? Chicago has a new ICE director. Hey, let's segue topics. So they do. There's this new guy in charge, and he's in charge of the Immigration Customs Enforcement. There's a job I don't want. And a welcome mat that Lori Lightfoot did not roll out. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock.
Oh.
I'm going to propose that they get together and have a little summit.
It's a great idea.
They should. I mean, I'm not kidding about that. Where would they go? Where would be a good place for Lori Lightfoot to take the new ICE director?
Do you anticipate there'd be a lot of arguing?
Taqueria or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe a place, a Spanish-American and Mexican-American food kind of place.
All right. Well, we look forward to hearing that.
All right. We're out of time.
Yes, we are.
Goodbye.
Have a great show, John.
Yeah. It's WGN Radio.